Hey, guys, what's better than four straight?
Five straight!
There you go.
Cowboys.
Well done. That's right. In the division, the Cowboys coming to town.
Yes, sir.
Great job, fellas. Outstanding second half. Way to play. Way to play and get the win and play the situation. Offense, defense, again, we're getting a little bit better. We need to step up and do it a little bit better than we're doing. Let's keep improving and working hard, and then let's keep the dream alive, huh? One, two, three.
Team!
Welcome to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG. I'm Bob Pop. Over the next hour, we'll get you set for the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. How about Jackson Kondak from Maplewood, New Jersey, in the Giants locker room after their win against the Packers? We're going to break it all down for you over the next 60 minutes with our Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, two-time Super Bowl champion, Carl Banks, and our protector, offensive lineman, Roman Oben. Let's take a look at the menu for today's show. We'll talk with Giants head coach Tom Coughlin as they get set for the Giants and Dallas Cowboys. Also on the program today, we send Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room, giving us a real in-depth breakdown of the Giants and Dallas Cowboys. Coming up later on in the show, in our player spotlight, we'll be joined by Matthias Kiwanuka. You do not want to miss that segment. It's more than just football with Kiwi. We'll also be joined by a former Dallas Cowboy on the program. Drew Pearson will join us to talk about the Giants-Cowboys rivalry. Also in our online segment, we've got Bob Glauber of Newsday and Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, and we'll have our keys to the game. But item number one goes up on the board. That is called No Huddle. So what we've decided to do is put 25 seconds on our play clock, and we start with our Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, who wants to talk about the rivalry. Take it away.
It's Cowboys-Giants week. Whatever happened last week, and I know it's a trite statement, it really doesn't matter. When these two teams get together, you know, you're going to have some fireworks. And it really doesn't matter what has happened so far during the course of the season. But I expect some big plays in this game on Sunday and a hard-fought game.
All right, and Harry comes in under time as well. 25 seconds on the clock in our no huddle for Senior Banks. As you talk about validation.
Well, it is about validating your efforts. I said after last week's game that they've become the headlights in the distant rearview mirror. So now they'll get closer and they can validate their efforts and get really back into the hunt.
Look at Banksy keeping it tight there, keeping it real tight as far as time is concerned. All right, Roman, he saved a little for you. 25 seconds on the clock for you. You talk about agendas.
Well, I think this game serves a few purposes. Obviously, it's a divisional game, and you can right the ship from what happened in week one, which some of those mistakes led to their 0-6 start. But at the same time, you can prove that the last four wins haven't been because of bad quarterbacks. It's been because of defense, identity in the running game, the things that it takes to win. And I think that can be accomplished with the win on Sunday.
How about that? For the first time this year, nobody went over time.
Clean.
Love it.
Look at that. See, as we, you know,
I thought it was going to take him 2 minutes to get through that.
Only four accepted penalties against the Giants in the last 2 weeks, and we're minimizing our penalties here on Giants First and 10. All right, item number two goes up on the board. As always, we get a chance to talk with the head coach of the New York Giants, Tom Coughlin, as he gets set for the Giants and Boys. All right, you got the Dallas Cowboys coming in. It must feel like a lifetime ago that you last played them, which was week one of the season. And obviously they've had a lot of injuries, and there's some changes there as well. Just talk a little bit about when you're preparing for a team that you haven't played in such an extended period.
Well, we know the Cowboys, they know us. It'll come back to being a divisional rivalry with both teams playing as hard as they possibly can. And who's going to make the big plays? Who's going to, you know, not make the mistakes that cost you a game?
Your fans were in full throat against the Green Bay Packers. It's got to be exciting when you see them energize based on what you guys are doing as a football team.
Well, it is, and we need to have that happen again when we play the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm sure we will.
Stopping the run, it's another thing. It seems like every week that's the constant with this defense. Is that really the key to allowing everything else to unfold when you're calling a defense? Is if you don't stop that, it's hard to do a lot of
it
other things.
It has been for us. We're trying to force the other guy to be one-dimensional. The other day, we did do that, and we still had to contend with a lot of yards, and five big plays against the Green Bay Packers. So, but it is the idea for us coming in, playing against an outstanding runner like Lacy, was to a powerful runner, to stop the run first, try to make it one-dimensional, and then go to work from there.
I know you haven't played your best game yet of the season. You're always looking for improvement, and there's always areas to improve. But do you feel where you're seeing it each and every week, where there's more things getting built upon?
There are. There's still some things, you know, that we have to clean up. But I do feel good, and I know the players are excited. They're excited to be relevant, you know, again. And we like the feeling, obviously, after the game with four wins in a row. And they bring it up always. What's better than four wins in a row? Five wins in a row.
Well, Coach Coughlin talked about stopping the run. That's the key. But, Harry, I want to ask you this question, because you came to the Giants in the middle of the dark era, in the mid-'70s, when it was really bad and the Cowboys were going to five Super Bowls in that decade. Obviously, you wound up winning a Super Bowl and the worm turned. But what do you think about when you think about playing the Dallas Cowboys?
When I came in here as a Giant, the number one thing that I had to know was whenever you played against the Dallas Cowboys, they are the team that you want to beat more than any other team. More than Washington, more than Philadelphia, more than, you know, any other team. You want to beat the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, it was sort of instilled in me as a player back then. I think it's still the case now. Whenever you see, you know, that helmet, that star on the helmet, you know it's Cowboy time, and you want to just go out there and just knock that star off of that helmet.
Carl, you came in kind of in the transition there. It was kind of the end of their run. Did you still get that same juice in the mid-'80s that Harry's talking about?
Yeah, because Harry's the one who still, I mean, it was passed on to him, and he passed it on to all the new guys. And, you know, there is always something about the Cowboys. Like he said, you go there, they come here. You see the star, you want to knock it off.
Roman, when you came to the Giants, obviously the Cowboys were kind of on the back end of their 90s run.
Right.
With Aikman and Irvin and Emmitt Smith and all those other teams. But they used to really swagger right on into Giant Stadium, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you still had Deion Sanders. You still had, you know, probably 30,000 people in the stands that had Cowboys jerseys on. Wow. And you still had the mystique of some of those teams. And there was a little bit of a change in the guard, but we're always looking to say we can have a lot more confidence as a team if you could beat these guys. And obviously we went to the playoffs that first year with Fossil and started to turn things around a little bit.
When we come back on the program, we'll take you inside the Giants locker room. We sent Paul DeTino in to talk with several Giants about slowing down the Cowboys when they have the football. As we continue with Giants First and 10, we continue to look back at this Giants-Cowboys rivalry. This one will bring a smile to Harry Carson's heart. Joe DiNello, 1981, enough said.
Here we go. Here comes the snap. Here's the boot. It looks good. The Giants win. The Giants win. The Giants win. The Giants may be in a playoff.
NFC East, you have to be a physical type team. And I think for a lot of the reasons you're suggesting, you play in these environments outdoors at the end of the season that are hard. You can't be quite as, spread it out, throw it down the field, all that kind of stuff because of the uncertainty of the weather and your ability to do that. That's been a story in this league for a long, long time.
That's Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett, who, of course, played his college ball at Princeton, spent time with the Giants. He knows all about NFC East weather. Time to take you inside the Giants locker room as we welcome in Paul DeTino, where we put item number 3 up on the board, Paul. And we're going to talk a little bit about this Dallas offense and how explosive it can be.
Yeah, well, you guys know Tony Romo was really throwing the ball well. 21 touchdown passes, only 6 picks. And he's got the deep threat in Dez Bryant with 8 touchdown catches, the short threat in Jason Witten, who's caught 47 balls. The Giants say that either one of those guys can be very deadly.
Well, I think, you know, with that, you look at the tendencies. You know, when are they going to him? How many catches? Who's the number one receiver on third down, on the money down? And it's very hard to get a beat on them.
Both are phenomenal athletes and phenomenal players. And obviously, you know, they're serious, serious threats. But at the same time, I think, you know, if you go out there and you play defense, I think you can go out there and do whatever it is that you want to do.
Now, in week number one, Brian caught four passes for 22 yards, and Witten caught, I think, was seven or eight balls for like 70-plus yards. So, Carl, I got to ask you, if you're the Giants, which one's more dangerous to you?
Well, I think John Beeson summed it up best, down and distance, the go-to guy in certain situations. But I think in terms of keeping the offense on schedule, it's definitely Jason Witten.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, remember something. The Giants beat the Cowboys a couple of years ago when Jason Witten had like 10 or 12 catches in a game because they didn't give up the big play. And remember something else. Beeson wasn't on the team, so it was Pacinger and Herzlick that had to deal with Witten earlier in the year, and the Giants didn't have Will Hill. Those are very big components to all of this.
Yeah, speedy guys who really help out that D.
All right, let's put up item number four up on the board. What about the Giants and their offense, Paul? It seems to have morphed into a little different style offense.
Yeah, it really has, Bob. And it's funny because Dallas is ranked last in the NFL in terms of yardage allowed. But, you know, the Giants, they haven't been going deep all that much lately. In fact, they've been very, very patient. So the question is, do you throw it deep or do you nickel and dime it down the field?
You got to take what they give you. Understand that, you know, we have the talent in this receiving core and on this offense to take a short pass and take it the distance or take it for make a big play out of it. So we're excited for that opportunity to catch the ball short and be able to do what we want to do with it and then head to big play whenever we can.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. Just trying to win games here and whatever it takes. And if it means running the ball more, passing the ball more, that's what we're going to do. We just want to win games and at the end of the day.
Now, the best example of the Giants' patience is in their scoring drives. For the season, the Giants have 8 scoring drives of 10 or more plays. 7 of them have come during this 4-game winning streak. So, Roman, knowing what kind of defense Kiffin likes to play in Dallas, if you're the Giants, do you take deep shots?
Well, I think you have to mix it up. I mean, fundamentally, this cover two, with my time with Kiffin in Tampa, it involved a lot of great play from the safety position. And there's 5 safeties on this roster, only, and 3 of them are rookies, and they only have 1 interception. So they've actually been playing a lot more cover 3 than cover 2. So fundamentally, they're not doing what they've been used to doing, so there's a little bit of a learning curve. You still have to take your shots and attack that middle of the field on Sunday.
Well, they'll play some man under this week if they get Claiborne back and a little cover 2 behind them. But, again, this is an opportunity for the Giants if they can protect the quarterback. Well, you'll see a guy like Akeem Nicks have a big game.
All right, Paul, good stuff as always.
Good to see you, Bob.
Working that Giants locker room. One of the guys coming out of the locker room is Mathias Kiwanuka. He's going to join us on set next in our player spotlight. You don't want to miss this because it's more than just football. It's about Kiwi's life and his heritage. We'll tell you about it when we return. Let's take a look at the Giants First and 10 programming for this weekend. 2 airings on Friday. 3 on Saturday on the MSG networks, and of course on Sunday morning at 10:30, right after Giants Chronicles. Kiwi coming up next here on Giants First and 10 on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. It's the Giants and Cowboys at MetLife Stadium this Sunday. Time for item number 5, which is our player spotlight. Now, Mathias Kiwanuka was drafted by the New York Giants. He bleeds Giants blue, but he's more than just a football player, someone who is very proud of his heritage.
Mathias has made numerous visits to his native Uganda. And early in spring of 2013, Kiwanuka, along with his wife and mother, took a goodwill trip to his homeland, rediscovering his roots while bringing some aid and comfort to the country.
It was me, her, and my mom. We all went back, and the main focus of the trip was to help renovate the school, St. Joseph's in Konge, which is the village that my mom grew up in and went to school.
And what a welcome they would receive once they arrived at the village.
I mean, it makes your heart melt. You know, walking in there and hearing the kids chanting your name. What I'm doing, I feel like, is it's what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, God's been great to me. He's blessed me with a lot,
And so I feel like it's my duty to come and give back, and to for them to show their appreciation to that level. It makes me want to do more. It makes me want to spend more time here. And it makes me just, you know, grateful and thankful that I came from such a community.
Mathias is making an active effort to improve the quality of life in his homeland, and he recently teamed up with an international program that helps the critically ill gain access to essential pain medicines.
We were lucky enough to link up with an organization called Treat the Pain. They're responsible for 100% of the morphine that gets shipped into the country. Why that's important is because in Uganda, a lot of people who have the worst diseases and things that you could think of, they suffer, and they suffer in silence because it's not a common thing to go to a doctor. One, there's not enough doctors for the amount of people that are in the country, and two, it'd be a huge expense just to get them there. So we spent the whole day going around the villages meeting these terminal patients.
So I play American football with the pads and all, you know, the armor and stuff.
The last lady we met, she was so happy that the Treat the Pain people had come back. And she was glad that we were doing it because tons and tons of people in her village who are suffering in silence and who don't have to, because there is this organization that will go, if you need it, to your house and deliver the medication to you. And so you can have some kind of dignity in your last days.
We wish everybody who needed it could get it.
We also visited a children's hospital, and we visited the cancer ward. And they said the day before, they were all out of morphine, and all the children were bedridden, and they were in pain, and they weren't laughing or playing because they were in so much pain. And the day that we went, they had just all received a dosage, and they were running around, and they were happy because they were no longer in pain. It just meant so much that we could go there and give them some type of pain relief so they didn't have to suffer anymore.
I need to learn all about the trucks to become a really useful engine, Thomas told himself.
I have a very special place in my heart for people who are doing work that relates to any kind of disease and illness in Uganda, because it's help that's very much needed.
And you can learn more about Mathias's trip to Uganda and the rest of his life if you watch Giants Chronicles Sunday morning on MSG at 10 a.m. And Mathias joins us right now in studio. And tell us a little bit about TreatThePain.org.
Well, Treat the Pain is a phenomenal organization that works throughout the region of Uganda, just helping people who aren't able to get the treatment that they need. You know, wherever they're needed, they go, and taking miles and miles to individuals' homes and just helping out wherever is necessary.
Your grandfather was voted the first prime minister in the country's history. You must be proud of what your family has accomplished in the country.
Very, very proud. And I think it definitely it rings true when you're just walking around and people who hear your last name or have an idea of who you are take the time out to come up to you and just say, you know, just want to say thank you and your family for all the things that you've done, not just being a prime minister, but the things that he focused on, especially education. You know, education for women at the time wasn't something that was focused on at all, and he took it upon himself to do that. So really proud of the things he accomplished.
You know, so many things in our heritage shape our daily lives. Talk about some of the influences of the Ugandan heritage that kind of shape who you are.
Number one, the biggest thing is just appreciating, family. You know, we were always in these big gatherings, and anybody, growing up here in the States, anybody who was related or knew somebody from Uganda, when they came to the States, they would look us up. And so I had an ever-expanding family. Both of my parents had large families, but, just extended to cousins and to fellow countrymen. That was also big for us. But on top of that, appreciating the gifts that God has given us. Understanding that, you can be happy with millions, but you can also be happy with just having great people around you.
Playing off that, I always said as an African-born player in West Africa that there's a certain work ethic that you learn when your family's from Africa and you've seen real poverty and how people are affected. And then how does it affect how you just approach the NFL life, whereas some players don't have that advantage?
I think there's a lot of players who do have it without the background, but I think you notice a difference when you're talking about the guys who I've played with, Jabril Wilson, Zosi Umenyiores, guys who have African parents and who understand the struggle that their families and their parents went through to make it here and to give them all the things that they have. It's just a daily grind. It's in a daily
struggle just to motivate yourself mentally to get up and do it, because, you know, without a few things going the right way, I mean, I could be back in Uganda right now, and so I appreciate everything I've been given.
So let's switch a little bit to football. Let's talk a little bit about this game coming up. Cowboys, not the same explosive team that we become accustomed to. Tell us what's so different about them.
I mean, the Cowboys, they're that team. You know, they're kind of that enigma. They're hot and then they're not, and they have the ability to beat you at any point. So I think as different as they are, it's going to be the same for us, because whenever we face them, we're going to get that game. We're going to get that big game. And it doesn't matter if they're on a skid or on a streak. We know that we have to prepare for their best. You know, and they're led by, you know, Romo, and everybody knows about his escapability and his ability to throw on the run and to improvise. And so for us, that means that we have to be even more detailed.
Coaches always say that you want to coach a guy who's a football player first and then a linebacker second or a defensive lineman second. And because you've had to move around a lot, mm-hmm. What's been your approach, you know, going to an offseason or going to a training camp when you're asked to do something differently?
Be honest with you, I mean, it's been tough because, you know, I end the season and I'm not sure, you know, what I should be focusing on or how I should be preparing to come back for the next season. But, I mean, I know the things that are true. I need to get bigger. I need to get faster. I need to get stronger. And I need to learn the game. So I think the one thing that I focus on is to try to, you know, remove myself from playing one position and study the game.
Matthias, we appreciate a couple minutes. And fans have to check out Giants Chronicles on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on MSG. Great job with you and your wife.
Thank you.
That's Matthias Kiwanuka joining us here on the program. Still to come, we're going to pose a couple questions with our Blitz segment as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. But as we continue to focus on this Giants-Cowboys rivalry, 2007 divisional playoff game, Giants and Cowboys with the winner advancing to the NFC Championship, another great moment in Giants history.
Takes the snap. Back to throw. Has time to the end zone. Intercepted by the Giants.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Still to come on the program, we'll be joined by former Cowboy Drew Pearson. A little Giants-Cowboys rivalry. We'll have our online segment. You don't want to miss that. We'll have Bob Glauber of Newsday and Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. And still to come, our strategy and keys to the game as well. But it's time to put item number 6 up on the board. We call this the Blitz as we welcome in Anita Marks. Take it away, Anita.
All right. First and foremost, we know Dallas head coach Jason Garrett used to be a former quarterback in the NFL. In fact, he quarterbacked the New York Football Giants at one point in time. Here's your question. Which current Giants player do you feel you can see coaching someday in his career? A minute on the clock. Who's it going to be?
You forgot to say discuss.
Discuss.
I would think that a guy who's kind of seen it from both angles would be Terrell Thomas. He spent a lot of time outside of the game with his injuries. Now he's back on the field. I think he would be a perfect coach.
And I would go with Antrell Roll. I think that he has those leadership abilities that, you know, coaches really need to have. He's seen the good, he's seen the bad, and I could see him making a smooth transition from player on the field to perhaps assistant coach at some point down the line.
Bob?
Interesting. I could see a guy like Mark Herzlick going into coaching.
Yeah.
You know, very studious guy. How about Kevin Booth, who's really been a guy that, you know, on the offensive line that's really manufactured his career. This is a guy that was, you know, picked up off waivers by the Giants. Real heady, smart guy. So I can see guys like that going into
coaching. How about David Deal, Victor Cruz, or John Beeson?
David Deal is going to be a broadcaster.
Question number 2. Giants defense finished second to last in yards allowed last year. Currently, right now, they're at 11 out of 32 teams. Here's your question. Can this Giants defense be a top 10 defense by season's end? A minute on the clock, discuss.
They probably could have been a top 10 defense by the middle of the season, but they were put in some bad predicaments early, field position-wise. So, yeah, I do believe they will.
I think they are still clawing their way out of the hole that they dug for themselves, and I think the defense is getting better and better. And I think that they will probably become, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, 2 or 3, but they'll probably wind up 7 or 8 in terms of defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think I go with Carl, too, in the fact that the numbers do not speak to this defense, because seven times this year the opposing team has started an offensive possession after a Giants turnover or a special teams gaffe inside the Giants' 20-yard line. That's automatically 3 points. Plus, with all the turnovers the offense had earlier in the year, that meant that the defense was constantly going back on the field. You're going to give up something. Their points per game number is much lower than the average because the league, there's been 8 returns against the Giants defense this year. 8 touchdowns have been scored when the Giants were sipping Gatorade.
Buzz, great job, gentlemen. Great topics today. It was fun.
All right.
Great discussing with you.
Yes.
Discuss.
Thanks, Banksy.
We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, you don't want to miss the strategy segment. That's going to be a lot of fun. Also, we're going to be joined by Drew Pearson, the former Cowboy, all here on Giants First and 10. As we go to this break, let's talk a little bit about the Giants and Cowboys rivalry. Came down to the last game of the 2011 season. Winner take all, Giants or Cowboys, who would win the NFC East? Let's look back.
We're 60 minutes from being NFC East champions. Let's lay it all on the field. Hold on a three. 1, 2, 3. Hold on.
Takes the snap, they roll him left, he throws it left, Cruz has got it, down the left sideline he goes, across midfield to the 40. Touchdown, Victor Cruz! 74 yards, and he's done it again!
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 as we get you set for the Giants and Cowboys on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. And it's time to put up item number 7 up on the board, and is with great pleasure that we welcome in New Jersey's own from Dallas. Drew Pearson joins us here on the program. Drew, got Harry Carson, Carl Banks, and Roman Oben. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing great.
I feel like
great.
I'm in a giant huddle, defensive huddle or something.
All right, well, let me ask you this, Drew. When you think about the Giants and you think about the Cowboys, what are some of the things that come to mind?
Well, I think both teams are still in a position to have a chance to win the NFC East. Whoever thought the Giants would be in that position after their start that they had, but you knew with the type of coach, Tom Coughlin, and the type of quarterback and the players that they have, the veteran players, you knew they were going to make a run for it sooner or later, and they're doing that now. And the Cowboys, you know, they're coming off that humiliating loss to the New Orleans Saints on Sunday Night Football. So they were licking their wounds through the bye week. Hopefully they got some players healthy through the bye week, and hopefully that will help improve their efforts on defense and improve their offense as well. So both teams are in a position that, you know, destiny is in there, still in their hands.
Drew, the owner, Jerry Jones, is kind of like a mechanic. He always tinkers with his staff and with the roster, and you know, you kind of talked a little bit about the coordinator, and maybe he made a mistake with that. What precipitated that change to begin with?
Well, you know, they were very disappointed after the loss of the Washington Redskins on the final game of the season that knocked us out of the playoffs. Even though Romo threw 3 interceptions, the onus Jerry put on the defense, and he felt he needed to make a change. And Rob Ryan came in with a different style of defense, a different style that really, I guess, didn't fit in Jerry's mind the personnel that he had.
You know, you're one of those iconic Cowboy players that everybody knows just by the name. And I'm sort of the same way here with the Giants. How many times have you had people stop you and say, Drew Pearson, you know, we could have you, we'd love to have you back on the football field right now. You look like you could still play. How often do you get that?
Well, I get that a lot, fortunately, because I look like I could in halfway decent shape. But every time I look at you, Harry, my head starts hurting or something, man. I feel like my bell is being rung or something like that. But anyway, yeah, it's amazing how that happens. You know, it's been 30 years this season since I played in the NFL. And still, everywhere I go, people still recognize me. And a lot of them do say, hey, good luck this weekend or something like that, thinking that I'm still playing.
Cowboys fans are unique in a lot of ways, and obviously the attention that's put on this organization. But do the fans have the patience with the decisions Jerry Jones has made, especially at the head coaching position? Is this a year where the Cowboys almost have to win it all, or there might be some other changes made besides just a defensive coordinator?
Yeah, there might be some other changes, but you're right. Our fans have been real patient with the Cowboys and Jerry Jones in particular. And it's amazing how the fan base has grown to where it is now, despite the fact that we have won one playoff game in 17 years, you know. And it's been a fruitful time for Cowboy fans, but they've stayed on the bandwagon and stayed with this football team.
Drew, in wrapping up, obviously with the holidays coming, you do a lot with charity. Talk a little bit about the 25 Days of Giving.
Yeah, we got a nice thing going. You know, Drew Pearson's show, we do it online, and we also, you know, televise it locally here. But we try to use that medium to try to help a greater cause, and that's charitable efforts. And we're able to do that this year with the 25 Days of Giving. We're going to try out 8 families so that they can have a meal, a good meal, a Christmas meal, a Thanksgiving meal on Christmas Day. That type of meal on Christmas Day. You know, everybody wants toys under the tree, but, you know, hunger is a big problem here in our country, and especially here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Drew, we appreciate the time. I got my defensive guys here. We know you're all about the offense, but it'll be a fun game on Sunday. Look at him, he's already moving. We appreciate you joining us here on the program.
All right, guys, thanks for having me. Go Cowboys Sunday.
Thanks, Drew. Drew Pearson. Joining us here on the program. Always fun catching up with the former Cowboy. All right, time for item number 8. We put it on the board. X's and O's with Carl Banks and strategy.
All right, let's take a look at the Dallas Cowboys defense, in particular, their front four. You've got 4 guys that have had to fill in for some absent players. But take a look here at the defensive end. Cowboys are playing some man defense here, and I'm going to play this and just watch the effort of the left defensive end. He just outworks the tackle, comes in and makes a big play in the end zone. Pass protection is very key when you're backed up. We'll take a look at it again, and I'm going to slow it down. And this is just an effort play here. It's a power rush. He just keeps going relentlessly until he beats the right tackle. Big play in the end zone. Now, let's take a look at the Dallas Cowboy offense. Now, running back DeMarco Murray has been plagued with injuries this year, but when he's on the field, he's a very dangerous guy. So let's take a look here. Your defensive linemen, they're going to have to hold their gaps. It's going to have to be gap discipline. Gap, 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 gap. And linebackers, they've got to fill and stay disciplined, because you'll see Murray will take several cuts to get open. He has great vision. Starts off left. He ends up right. He sees a safety coming. He redirects, and now he's through. And he makes another guy miss. And he makes another guy miss. So he knows how to set up his blocks with his vision. Let's take another look at it. Let's look at Murray, how he sets up every block. He's going to start left, get the defense folded there. Now he comes back right. Now if your linebacker stays on this block, there's nowhere to run. But he gets through, and now he's off to the races, setting up blocks. Great vision and great mobility. Back to you, Bob.
And strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. We're going to take a timeout on the program. When we come back, Giants Online. Pat Hanlon joins me. Bob Glauber of Newsday, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, as we continue with Giants First and 10. Here's a look at all the Giants programming throughout the course of the week. First and 10 debuts every Friday night. You don't want to miss that. On My 9 on Saturdays, it's Giants Access Blue. Sunday mornings, Giants Chronicles on MSG. Right after the Giants and Cowboys, go to My 9 for the Giants postgame show. Giants Rewind on Tuesday on MSG, and of course, the coach's press conference live every Wednesday on MSG. Back with more after this.
Dolzien takes the snap. Pass intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Sunday, it's the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. Time for item number 9 up on the board. It's our online segment. And with that said, my co-host, Pat Hanlon, are you ready for a big game?
Big relevant football game at MetLife. Yes.
It certainly is. Giants and Cowboys doesn't get much better than this. We go around the room. Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. I know he's got his Cowboy boots ready to go for this one.
Hey, at 0-6, I didn't know what would be being polished in this game, but hey, 4-6, you're right in the division race. It's more than anyone could ask for.
Bob Glauber of Newsday covers the NFL for Newsday, and boy, it seems like when these two teams played, it was a year ago with the way things have changed for the Giants. That's
the beauty of the NFL season. It's so long, and there's just so many twists and turns to it that it's fascinating.
Yeah, so why does everybody want to write the obituary back in October?
That's
a great point, Bob.
At 0-6, you know, when no team in NFL history has ever made the playoffs after that? No, I mean, there's a couple of obits to be written on that. They've risen from the dead.
We've seen this team make big plays. Speaking of kind of rising from the dead, as we came into this segment, Jason Pierre-Paul with the huge pick six last week. Is his game finally rounding into form? That's the question.
Look, I mean, that was reminiscent of last year's pick six against Tony Romo and the Cowboys in Dallas. I think Terrell Thomas said it best this week. He said, when JPP talks, JPP produces. When he's moping around and worrying about his shoulder and worrying about his back, all legitimate things, that's a problem. When JPP talks and talks about bloodshed and things like that, that means he's getting ready to roll. I think he's rounding into shape.
He's talking this week. He's already term this week's game as our Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The other thing, the other big difference, a week ago Thursday, JPP saying, I don't know if I'm even going to be able to play.
I don't think I'll never be 100% this
right.
year, he said.
This Thursday, I'm practicing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right?
JPP likes the drama. He's a drama guy.
Well, he's perfect for you then.
It's great.
You guys
but I'm just telling you, all of a sudden you see him laying flat on his back. Oh, this is it. He's done. And, like, you know, three plays later, he's back. But that's just the kind of player he is. He is electric when he is on his game. And he was that for the Green Bay Packers game. He has done well historically against the Cowboys. Let's see what happens. I think he'll have a big game.
All right. Obviously, one of the areas that the Giants have to be sounded in this game is red zone defense, isn't it?
Right. Oh, no question. I mean, you know, Tony Romo is a hard guy to keep out of the end zone. And this is not, sorry, Pat, but this is not the bums of the month club that you guys have faced. The Freemans and the Vic on one leg and the Terrell Pryor and Scott Tolzien, who we just learned how to pronounce his name. This is Tony Romo. This is Witten. This is Dez Bryant. This is Miles Austin.
And the guys you mentioned, Paul, move the ball against this Giants defense. So that's why I think red zone Red zone defense is going to be critical, my man.
How did our defense do? This is up your alley. How did our defense do against Tony Romo and the Cowboys in week one?
They did very well.
Thank you, Bob.
Dez Bryant's biggest play was a seven-yard catch.
Yeah.
And I know Witten scored a couple touchdowns, but they really limited Romo in that game. The Cowboys scored 24 points off Giants turnovers,
and
including 14 return for scores.
Superman John Beeson is now on the field.
And
he was not on the field. Then.
Is
Will
our defense?
Thrill?
Will Hill.
Is our defense better than it was in week one?
Yes.
Oh, there's no
Absolutely.
Question.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Bob.
So what happened to that Giant passing attack? It looked like they picked up where they left off last year with huge plays. Cruz had a 70-yard touchdown. But since then, it's gone the other way.
Well, since then, Eli just went into a crater that we've never seen him go. But now since then, you know, two picks in his last four games, and one of those wasn't his fault. He's a much more careful quarterback. I think Kevin Gilbride has given him some three-step drops, more than we've seen Eli do, and I think that's helped. And he's just been a more careful quarterback.
And he has a running game.
And the offensive line is better. You know, it's not great, but it's better. It's stable, at least, so they know who's playing on their right and left now. But still, the big plays are not there. Hakeem Nicks has got to, as, you know, Tom's let's go here. He's got to get in the end zone at some point this year. He really does, because Victor Cruz is, you know, that's not forgetting. Victor Cruz had, what, three touchdown catches in that game?
Yeah, but
he's
he
had one since then.
Right.
One since then. He said the other day, they're going to put my salsa dance on a, you know, milk carton.
All right, prediction.
Close Giant win. I think they get to five straight. After this, it might be trouble, but I think they're so geared up for this game. JPP Super Bowl, but no parade after this, right, Pat?
No parade. No
I
parade.
Don't think it'll be that close.
Okay.
I'm 27-16. If that red zone defense plays well and holds them to field goals, I think it could be a fairly convincing win.
There you go.
My prediction is there's a big game on Sunday in MetLife Stadium.
There you go. That's our online segment for this week. Still to come on the program, we'll bring the guys back for the keys to the game in Banks, the one and only Harry Carson, and Roman Oben. But as we go to this commercial break, we were talking about Jason Pierre-Paul. Let's look back at a great Giants-Cowboys moment from the 2011 season.
What's your best block play? You got somebody that can rise up, make the play? Snap is good again. Kick on its way, and it's blocked! Blocked by the Giants, and it bounds into the end zone, and the Giants will win it! Is it Jason Pierre-Paul? He's done everything else tonight.
Here he is.
Yep, Jason Pierre-Paul, JPP.
Who's it going to be?
Who's got to say discuss?
8 touchdowns have been scored when the Giants were sipping Gatorade.
Why does everybody want to write the obituary back in October?
They've risen from the dead.
Every time I look at you, Harry, my head starts hurting or something, man.
That's the Geico recap. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com. All right, item number 10 up on the board, the keys to the game for the Giants and Cowboys Sunday afternoon at MetLife Stadium. And we start with Harry.
Well, I think both teams will be able to move the football, but I think when it comes down to winning the game, the Giants are going to have to eliminate the big play, particularly to Dez Bryant, because he is a playmaker, and you cannot allow him to just take control of the game.
All right, Banksy, you're not talking about a comedy club, but you're saying no improv.
No improv. That means you've got to control the line of scrimmage and your rush lanes versus Tony Romo, because when he starts to do that little whirling dervish thing that he does, that's when the big plays come. So controlling the line of scrimmage and no improv allowed.
All right, and Roman, you're talking about laundry?
Well, it's about keeping someone clean. And I know this is a turf game in MetLife Stadium, but you've got to protect Eli, keep him upright, and you've got to make Tony Romo uncomfortable, put him on his back. 21 touchdowns, only 6 picks. With this defensive pressure, the way he's been playing, Romo is due for a multiple interception game.
And the Giants have to control the running game, not allow, which they've done, but not allow DeMarco Murray to give the Dallas Cowboys balance on their offense. Now, if you're coming to the game on Sunday, the Giants will hold their 18th annual toy drive. The Giants, in conjunction with FedEx and New York Cares, bring a gently used coat to the stadium, or a new one if you care to, and drop them off in the FedEx trucks. There'll be volunteers there to direct you where to go. But for the 18th year, with the cold weather coming, the Giants, FedEx, and New York Cares with the 18th annual Giants coat drive. All right, that wraps it up for this week's show. For our captain, Harry Carson, our other linebacker, Carl Banks, 2-time Super Bowl champ, and Roman Oben has been doing a lot of blocking for us. Good stuff, gentlemen. Enjoy the game, everybody. That wraps it up for this week's show. Make sure you join us right here on MSG each and every week for Giants First and 10. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Enjoy the Giants and Cowboys, everybody. We'll see you next week.